Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I'm Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you 5 days a week with that fresh Clippers news.
Oh, yes.
And we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to be kicking things off with a little preview of the upcoming game against former champs, current champs?
Current champs. Toronto Raptors. Yeah, they're the current champs. Yeah.
Lots to get into there. We're going to talk about what we need to do well, as well as what could go wrong. Get into some key matchups.
Emotional night, as it's going to be.
Yeah.
Kawhi's getting his ring. It's going to be a good time.
Getting a ring. and then Charles put up a wonderful poll today for our What You Say Wednesday.
Yep.
Talking about Doc, the rotations. A lot of stuff there. Thank you to everybody who voted and commented. Yes. We'd love to get
Shout
your feedback
to the people
on this
who commented, especially. Love to have that dialogue going on.
Hey, we're trying to start a dialogue. The first step is saying, hey, yeah, we're starting a dialogue.
Exactly.
And then we're going to wrap things up with some shavings. It's, you know it, you love it. It's some trade talk time, baby.
Oh, I mean, it's rearing its head. We have to get into it a little bit.
All right, so let's do it.
Okay, so the Clippers are facing the Raptors in Toronto. Kawhi is going to get his ring in a separate ceremony pregame, I'm pretty sure. I saw something about that. That'll be a nice moment.
Yeah.
I, in the beginning of the week, kind of had some feelings that like he might get booed because of kind of, I think, what happened in Indiana kind of like skewed my mind.
I mean...
But I don't know. They shouldn't boo him.
No one's booing him during the thing.
No, that'd be awful. I know. I never thought that would happen. I didn't think he was going to get in his ring and they were going to be like, boo, and then apologize because it's Canada.
I think it depends on how close the game is.
I don't think he's getting any boos.
If the game is close and the Raptors are about to put on the dub and Kawhi seals, I would hope there'd be a couple boos.
I don't think there would be. I think they would applaud. It'd be all weird. Right. All right, let's get into... So we got some injuries for this game. Shamet and Magruder are out. Not unexpected. Jermichael is doubtful. And this is what I was talking about the other day when I was upset about why he played that game against the Wizards.
Because it's now 2 games out that he's sat.
He only played 4 minutes in that game. He was like, evidently, I'm not saying he was still hurt, but he was not
ready
to play.
Yeah, that
played
no,
four
that,
minutes.
That totally checks.
It's out of character. He was out of the Patriots game. He's maybe out of this one. It was just out of character for this team to play a guy like that, I feel like.
Do you want to see him play?
No.
All right.
Not if he's doubtful.
No, I agree.
Because if it's like...
Obviously, it was too early the first time.
Yeah.
So let's get it right this time.
Yeah, let's get it right this time. And like, just... If you didn't even... Anyway. And then Fred VanVleet is day-to-day.
Yes.
He missed their game Monday, but they had a break. So I feel like he's probably going to play, right?
Could be.
Yeah. Let's get into what do we need to do well in this game.
Well, defend well in transition.
Yeah.
This has been a little bit of a mixed bag for us. but the Raptors is kind of interesting looking at their numbers because they're not, I believe they're in the bottom half in terms of overall pace, but
they're like just on the cusp.
Yeah, but they play really well in transition. About 21% of their, a little over 21% of their possessions occur in transition. Putting them at the number two team in the entire league.
Damn.
Behind just the Milwaukee Bucks.
Who did kill us in transition.
For comparison, a meager 13% of our points come from transition.
Hey, that's not bad.
And they're also a lot more efficient than us. About 16% more efficient.
That checks out.
And they're scoring about 1.12 points per possession off transition plays. We're at about 1.04. Which adds up, especially when you're going to it more.
Yeah, they have 33% more transition buckets than we do per game. That's going to be a pretty big thing this hinges on.
Yeah, and that gets affected. I mean, that does get affected if Fred VanVleet is out, but you still have Siakam to worry about.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a good transition team. And we, you know, historically haven't defended in transition that well.
And as well as transition, the perimeter, which is we have to do the complete opposite of what we did against the Pacers.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot let this team shoot. They're 7th in three-point attempts per game and hit them at a 38% clip.
Dang.
Which is top 3 in the league. So, I mean, they're letting it go, and it's going in for the most part. Last time.
And they'll be at home.
And they'll be at home. You know? They're going to be fired up. They're gonna
Those are home threes.
They're going to want to show Kawhi, you know, what he missed out on.
Yeah.
A little bit, for sure. Last time we played them, we held them to 88 points. We only allowed 33-point attempts, which is great.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I don't know if that's going to happen again because Lowry's going to be back in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We also have to hit our threes.
I mean, can't argue with that.
They're bottom of the league when it comes to allowing opponents in terms of three-point attempts. Literally the bottom of the league.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is pretty incredible.
Bold strategy to adopt.
Yes, but they're top 10 in three-point percentage, limiting teams with 34% from the arc. So the shots are going to be there.
Yes.
I mean, for sure.
Which has been an issue for us.
Well.
Knocking down some open shots.
With how Paul George is shooting, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I hope we see another 10 threes in the first half from PG.
And then just one last thing. We just got to get to the line. I feel like I've been saying it the last couple of games. Last game, we got to the line double the amount of times they did. And in a game.
Oh, against the Raptors.
Against the Raptors, sorry, yeah. And in a game that was, you know, fairly close.
You got 10 points.
Yeah, it was super needed.
Yeah, and so this goes well into what could go wrong. They're the number six in defensive rating. We just played the number five team, so fantastic schedule going so far.
And last time we played them, we nearly beat ourselves just poor shooting-wise.
Yes. Shot 22% from three last time. But so we just played the Pacers, who are number five.
Yep.
We couldn't get to line against that team, other than Paul George. So if things aren't going well, we're going to have to camp out there. They're 11th in free throw attempts allowed to opponents.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got done with the number 10 team in that regard. So we're kind of getting a tough schedule in terms of like our bread and butter.
Yeah.
Sometimes when things aren't going well. But, you know, we have a full, other than Shaman and Magruder, we got Paul George and Kawhi for this one. I don't think we'll shoot 22% from three again. Right? That probably won't happen.
That was absurd. Strongly hope not.
Pat went 4-for-8 in this game from three. But if their defense is clicking, we could be in that like 100 to 110 point range.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that gets the dub.
All right. You know? Yeah. No, that could definitely go wrong. I think one thing, and it's like a little bit more just broad, is just their overall like sort of DNA and continuity. Obviously, yeah. Losing Kawhi, huge blow to the roster, but everybody else, I mean, I guess Marc Gasol came in later in the season for sure, but has a chip with the team under his belt.
Yeah, and Siakam is evolving into this amazing player and leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lowry's a perfect veteran kind of for this team. So.
Yeah, and Fred VanVleet like knows the system. You know, I think in terms of like getting into their offense, especially as I said at the top, you know, they are pace-wise a somewhat slower team. Getting into the half court, that benefits them a lot in having some more crafty looks. Yeah. A little less forcing, as I feel like the last couple of games we've been talking about more and more with this offense, just kind of lacking that continuity. We can fall into those sort of problems, especially with the turnovers.
Yeah.
The Raptors are top 10 in assists per game. We are in the bottom 10.
That was shocking to me when I saw it. I was like, wow, we're bottom 10. Okay.
21.
Yeah, we're right there. We're almost top 20. The ball movement's going to have to be crisp. It's going to be nice. We're going to have both we're going to have the whole 2-1-3 there.
Yeah.
Which is going to be good. The rebound discrepancy probably won't be as crazy this time.
Okay.
We won the board 66-38 last time.
Yeah.
Which I don't have the exact numbers in front of me. That's got to be the biggest discrepancy we've had in a while. Which is insane because they're 7th in total rebounding.
Gotcha.
6th in defensive boards, but 25th in offensive boards. So if that discrepancy kind of levels out a little bit or even goes in their favor,
mm-hmm.
this one could get a little slippery.
That could be rough. That would be not ideal.
What do we got for key matchups?
I mean, whoever guards Siakam.
I think it's going to be Mo.
You think Mo gets the most looks at Siakam?
He had the most time on last time. Mm-hmm. Granted, we didn't have Paul George and Kawhi. He guarded him for 3 minutes and 38 seconds, held him to 0-3 shooting.
Okay, I like it.
His defense is also really nice right now. Yes. Mo's in a fantastic stretch.
Yes.
And I think he's the kind of guy who, if you put him on their best player, he's going to be great right now.
I like it. So you don't have him on in like the on ball role or on the guards like he has been doing a little bit more frequently lately.
Maybe because we have Paul George and Kawhi in this game.
Yeah.
But it was interesting when Patterson and Kawhi guarded Siakam, when they spent times on him, he shot 3 of 4 on them.
Gotcha.
Which is an interesting number.
I like that. In terms of success, I like what you're laying down here. I do like the idea of Mo on Siakam best. The bigs in this, like the front courts in general, are kind of interesting to me. Gasol versus Zubats,
yeah,
it is interesting.
Vet versus a young dude,
Zubats is typically the kind of guy that Marc Gasol would tear apart.
Yeah,
I feel like. A younger center with a quasi-athletic game. Fortunately for Zubats, we don't really run that much offense through him. So
it like doesn't matter.
I don't really see that as being that big of an issue. And then Trez versus Ibaka is also interesting to me.
Yeah.
Two somewhat similar players, different roles. Ibaka can shoot a lot more.
Yeah.
They definitely stretch him out of the floor, but he has been in a slump lately.
Both physical.
But yeah, pulling Trez out further from the basket, I think, makes things difficult for him on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. I think it's interesting stylistically because I don't know. I see both of these guys. I see a path where either one of these guys flourish on offense fine, and the other one eats the other one alive on defense on most possessions.
For sure.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think we'll see Zoo and Trez out there together?
I hope not.
I think Gasol is going to be interesting too, just versus the trap, or us versus Gasol helping with the trap.
Yeah.
When things get down low, because he's absolutely going to do that too. Lowry versus Bev, neither of them, I believe. Lowry didn't play in the last matchup. He's our number two scorer, but he's getting back into form, let's just say. His last 5 games, he's shooting 31% from the floor for 17 points a game.
Okay.
So he's not shooting well.
No.
Right now.
And that, I believe that's lower than their second best scorer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, overall, he's their second best scorer.
Yeah.
But for this, I'm going to give this one to Bev because there's no worse defender to go against when you're in a slump than Patrick Beverley. There's not a lot of guys.
I like it.
What's your prediction for this game?
It's
ring night, emotional.
Very emotional. I think we take the dub. I think it's like 115-107.
Okay. All right, I like that. I think we get the win too. Actually, no. Bless you. I think the Raptors get this one. It's ring night.
Okay.
If Lowry can have a good game against Bev, that's kind of, I think, what it hinges on.
And obviously, if Van Vliet doesn't play, then the Raptors are losing this game.
I mean, we'll see. I'm pessimistic, Chuck, right now, I guess. Coming back to this, we got a What You Say Wednesday discussion. But first, if you're a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast for the year, specifically Locked On Clippers. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live and at Locked On NBA. At Locked On Clips on Twitter, and we will share and retweet. The new leader for Locked On Clips is at iLujitsu, who has 15,148 minutes.
Haha, good luck beating that.
God damn, that's crazy. Coming back to this, What You Say Wednesday. All right.
What you say?
What you say? So, I pose this question to the Clipper Nation. The Clippers have been down at least 2 rotation players for a bit. How do you think Doc has done with all the injuries / time missed so far this year?
And the options were?
The options were as expected, exceeding expectations, and has not met expectations. I've been watching a lot of West Wing, I feel like. The vote totals, do you want to hear that first? Or do you want to do your answer first? All right, so the vote totals, 55% as expected. Which I thought was, I'll say my feelings after I share the numbers. 38% said exceeding expectations. 7% said has not met expectations.
Wow.
First of all, I was shocked because I would firmly vote in exceeding expectations.
Yeah. Okay.
I was surprised at the as expected.
Expectations were very high, so I still gauge it as a plus.
You gauge it as exceeding, so you vote in the 38%.
Yeah, but I think that it just meeting expectations is exceeding a lot of expectations.
You got me lost.
Dude.
No, I feel like we've dealt with a fair amount of injuries.
Yes.
Shamit's missed over 15 games.
Yes.
Magruder's missed. He missed the preseason. Like,
yeah.
It's. I mean, I was kind of surprised that over half are saying as expected.
I don't know. It doesn't super surprise me. I guess with this, I struggle because it would be easier for me to be more critical of the lineups if we were losing.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is 100% a fault of my own, but like while we're winning, it's kind of hard for me to be like,
we should be doing X.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had some, that's a good point. Yeah. No, that's absolutely fair. We had a couple people comment. Shout out Sam, I am at Mr. Swing and Bang. He said the rotations have been questionable. I get it. Gotta give props to Mo. Comes in and plays no matter what. I would love to see him keep that spot as a bench of Lou, Sham, Man, Michael, and Trez. Sounds dangerous. So he kind of has that idea of Mo maybe sticking in the starting lineup, which I'm on board with.
I like it. Yeah. I mean, but there's like any, you could throw any starting lineup at me and
you could talk you into it.
And I think you could probably talk me into it right now.
Chenny John said, as expected, you brought up a great point, only because we saw how we patchworked the LA Clippers team together with a winning record in the 17-18 season, 500 record for the Magic 99-2000. Very good point.
Yeah.
We've seen him do this before. He just almost has upgraded pieces every year. He's gotten better pieces to like patch things together with.
Yeah.
Right? Like 17-18 was like, how did this happen? Last year, it was like great, good pieces for sure, but still 48 wins was crazy. And this year, he has an even more, obviously, the best roster he's ever had, but still having to patch it together, but with better pieces.
Yes. Yeah, no, I would say exceeded expectations. Can we take a trip back to that 17-18 second for...
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
There was just, thank you, Jeff Wright, who texted me about this the other day. There was a thing, I think it popped up on Clippers Twitter or Clippers Reddit about Bill Simmons in the 17-18 season made like 10 predictions,
oh,
10
yeah,
things
yeah.
that the Clippers should do to turn the franchise around. And they essentially did the opposite of all 10 of these.
One of them was like move to Seattle and like
but,
get
yeah,
LeBron.
Well, it was specifically don't move to Inglewood.
That's so funny.
But like one of
well,
the things,
close.
One of the things on the list was fire Doc and.
That's crazy.
I bring this up because I just want to talk about this one period of time where I think maybe prior to that 17-18 season, I would have had some more questions of Doc's rotations in these types of situations.
For sure.
And I think even last year, I mean, with the Avery Bradley thing, there was like a
it did take an injury for Shea to get on the starting lineup.
Yeah, there was perhaps a stretch where you could question it. But I feel like at this point, Doc has proven himself like time and time again, even with this team to me, like to a point where it's like, yeah, I mean, it's probably right.
Yeah.
It's probably right.
He has the trust right now. And I know some people don't. He doesn't have it from some people, which I can see. You can talk me into for sure. But for the most part, I'm okay with it. Nathan Delgado said, I agree with Doc. Despite us being so positive, there's still some untapped talent within the group we haven't seen yet. Which is the other thing. To think about is that we're still, these guys are figuring it out. They've practiced, you know, they've never even seen a basketball together in the same room, except when they're at the game. But so if we look at some most played minutes, the most played minute in terms of lineup, in terms of total minutes, is Bev, Kawhi, PG, Mo, and Zoo.
Okay.
In 108 minutes, they are plus 30.
Okay.
That is also our best in net rating. So our most played lineup is our best in net rating. Which is nice.
Yes.
Can't really be mad at that. The second most played lineup was when Shamet and Patterson were starting. So I feel like we can kind of throw that one out.
Yeah.
In terms of like things to take tangible.
That's fair.
Because this lineup, that last one I just mentioned, seems like it might be the starting lineup, even when Sham comes back.
Yes. That
Mo was playing fantastic. Second in net rating is Bev, Lou, Kawhi, Jermichael, Trez, who's plus 28 in 30 minutes.
I like it.
I like that lineup. That's a fun lineup. The third most played, interestingly enough, is Lou, Kawhi, Mo, Jermichael, and then Trez, who are actually minus two in 49 minutes.
Oh, yikes.
Which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
But I like that he's kind of experimenting with stuff, but we kind of have seen what might shape up to be the actual starting lineup, which is that Mo lineup.
Yes.
Is that are you still on that train? Or do you want to see Sham when he's fully back in the starting lineup?
No, I'm a proponent of having Mo out there. I think setting a defensive tone early takes a lot of pressure off of a lot of things.
Yeah, that's true. Especially Lou and Trez.
Yeah, and I think that it lets that second unit be that second unit even more. So, you know,
first, yeah, that's a really,
really just kind of lets them do their thing.
And it lets Sham do what he's best at more freely.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the defensive pressure is off him if he's in that starting lineup a little more. But yeah, he's still guarding, like, you know, there's some great backcourts in the West. And so having that Bev, Kawhi, like, I mean, yeah, the defensive, yeah. And then with Jermichael, sometimes, because I feel like maybe that Mo spot might be where we, if we ever get to see the sliding lineup,
mm-hmm,
which might not ever happen, given how, like, the continuity seems to be going.
Yeah.
It's like I guess it's a default sliding lineup, because guys have been in and out of the rotation. Because of
availability.
It's a forced, yeah, like, rotated sliding lineup. But it's been nice to see, like, the Mo Jermichael switch at the four sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, either one of those guys. Jermichael, obviously, offensively, has stronger upside. He has had some more issue, especially recently, knocking down those open shots before he was injured. And
he's injured.
Jermichael, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I would list as a capable defender. Like, fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, don't have to hide him.
Yeah. And a pretty solid rebounder, but not on the level of Mo.
No. Mo's just, he's playing out of his mind right now.
Just the switchability is really interesting to me. I'm just trying to think of a team where that doesn't benefit you. And honestly, the only team I could really think of is, like, maybe the Lakers or some other big team where, like, you know who it's going through and you just need to contain two people. You don't need to, like, switch around a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's playing it. I mean, yeah, there's nothing in my head. I'm like, no, it doesn't make sense to take it from the starting lineup, especially considering they have, what, it's the most minutes played. So let's just keep that going.
Yeah. And just that, I don't know, the type of synergy that you get on that second unit, just the more space you can give Lou and Trez is always going to be better. I would say I've been a huge fan of Shamet in the bench role ever really since the playoffs last year. When we saw how good Sham is next to Lou Will, it just makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
They just have, I mean, not totally opposing, but they just have, like, different magnetizing forces on a defense.
For sure. And it just helps the spacing with the pick and roll even more.
Yeah.
When you add Trez in that mix. Want to give a shout out to everyone who voted. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah.
It's going out every, Tuesday?
Every Tuesday.
The day before. Check that out, at Locked On Clips. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking some trade talk on shaving. Okay. It's that time to talk about deadlines. Let's talk about, we want to give a shout out first to Great Awesome Amazing Sniper. They gave us a 5-star review with some input as well regarding this very segment. They said, love the pod. I listen every day. Thank you very much. You guys are very entertaining. Stop. But the shaving segments needs a name change to clippings, and you know I'm right.
Interesting.
Where do we stand on that?
Interesting.
Shavings is a shout out to our first podcast.
Yes. So I kind of like it for the heritage.
Clippings. We'll see. Clippings is good.
Makes sense.
We appreciate your view. Thank you very much.
My only detraction from clippings would be.
Yep.
It a little bit sounds like a scatological categorization for if a clipper was in the wild, what their feces would be.
You lost me on that one. I think you're the only one who went there with that.
All right, fair.
But so it seems like it's going to stay shavings. thank you very much. Great, awesome, amazing. Excited for the review. So according to Kevin O'Connor, the Clippers are among a number of contenders willing to part with their first round pick for a roster upgrade.
Give me Bertans, baby.
Okay. I mean, everyone wants Bertans.
Bertans for a first He's for 1 year?
For half a year.
For 30 games?
For 35 games. Who on... What's also... I mean, I don't know. Who on earth would give us something for what should be a low lottery pick that would also make us better?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what's out there for that. The Wizards weirdly do make sense to me, but I they could understand.
The pick.
I could understand how they would obviously want more than a low.
What if it's a low first
than
round?
Than a bottom first round pick.
What if it's low first round pick? Jerome. Well, the money doesn't work, I don't think, because we still have to ship out some salary.
Yeah, I don't know what Bertans' contract is like offhand. I can take a look.
He's a unrestricted free agent, so he's going to be making a bunch of money.
Yes.
Next season.
He's. I mean, we've been talking about this. I feel like...
It's Bertans' mania, dude.
He's the dude who's, you know...
He's the number one target right now, I feel like. He's like a burst for the number one target.
A team is going to sign up to overpay.
He's making $7 million a year.
Oh, yeah. So Jerome's at $4 million.
So Jerome. So
pretty close. I mean, but we have a trade exception, so I think
I don't know
that it works.
But I don't think they do that.
Somebody, I don't think they do it either. I just don't think. I don't think that you benefit enough if you're the Wizards.
I don't think as a team, I had wanted to ask this question. Would it make, and I mean this in every sense of the word, any sense for the Clippers to make a trade before February 7th at this moment in time, given we haven't even seen the team together?
No.
I don't know how you can assess a team to the point where you think you need a trade when you haven't even seen everybody play. That's just me.
The only argument, yeah. I'm in agreement with you just because you're going to be getting so much less value on any trade that at that point it's like, it's debatable.
And this is of December 10th, 8:42 p.m., 2019. So yeah. This is of right now. We're saying in this moment.
It's a little debatable as to whether it's an upgrade.
And in terms of our team, it's a deep team, but there's all specific spots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's just a lot of...
You got your Davis Bertans rule, you okay, know? Yeah. You got...
Yeah. I just don't see it happening. Memphis has said... We should probably talk about Iguodala a little bit. Memphis has said they're obviously not going to buy him out. They're going to like try and get a bunch for him. The Heat are interested in getting Iguodala.
Okay.
I'd be fine with that.
I'm mad.
Doesn't really tip the scales anywhere or the other. In some former Clipper news, CP3, Gallo, and Steven Adams are all up for trade from the Thunder. Who do we think makes a play for them?
CP3, I don't really see the move. And that's not to say that he isn't a great player.
He's making a lot.
I mean, I guess he would kind of make sense on the Lakers. I don't know.
I don't know what they give up for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you...
I don't know what their contract stretch is, but I'm pretty sure they're paying a bunch of guys.
Yes.
Not a lot of money, except for two guys who make a bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would gut the roster. Steven Adams. Steven Adams seems like a lot of people are really wary of that contract, but he is a younger dude and a capable big. I mean, he's like 27 or something like that. 28, yeah. Maybe.
Gallo might end up somewhere else.
Gallo to me.
But he's got kind of a contract situation.
So I say those first two people only because I feel like Gallo is the most tradable of any of these assets.
Yeah.
Only a year left on his deal. and he has like an absurd, he has like an absurd true shooting percentage on the season. It's like 60%. It's something insane.
Great. Yeah.
I think, knock on wood, I hope that a lot of the injury concerns are a little bit past him.
Yeah, because he's done after this year.
Yeah.
He's out. So yeah. it's a hard, that's another rental thing too.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a rental. I guess I would be surprised if OKC were to re-sign him. You know what I mean? Like,
unless they really like think they have something cooking.
Or if they got him on a deal or something, you know?
Because they have a bunch of picks. They can still...
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's a good asset to have on hand, you know? Yeah. If he continues to stay healthy.
For sure.
Even if you don't think you're going to contend, like, if you're able to secure him on a reasonable contract, that's something that you can trade.
Yeah.
If not this season, next year.
Yeah, Gallo in a tradable contract is nuts.
Yeah.
Especially for a team that's, like, rebuilding.
And I don't know. I mean, Portland, to me... I guess I see the most, well.
Kevin Love said he wants to go to Portland. I don't think the Clippers are making a play for anybody.
Clippers are not making a play for any of these.
We can trade our first, that pick, but again, I don't know. We'd have to throw in some other stuff. And any other piece we throw in. And I feel like, you know, Jrue Holiday always gets brought up, but I tweeted this out, is that like trading for Jrue Holiday feels like a meme at this point.
Oh, it could never happen now.
And like, if you look at a trade for any player whose salary is over $25 million.
It gets all dicey.
Here's who we needed to trade away. Lou Trez and Mo.
Yeah.
Equal around that amount. So, yeah. Like, no.
Yep.
That's not ever going to happen. But I hope it's going to be interesting. Do you think it'll be crazier than last year's trades?
Like the trade deadline?
Just the whole thing.
No.
It was pretty crazy last year.
Last year, I think, is like the pinnacle.
Yeah, last year was nuts.
I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think that this year we see anything like that.
Hawks apparently want to try and make a move because they think they're contending. One more shout out. Anything else in shavings you want to talk about?
Nah.
AKA clippings?
Nah.
J.4 said that he's been listening for a long time. He's a Clippers fan in Michigan. He'd always been alone in the Clippers hype until this season. Where his favorite way to get Clippers news. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Glad appreciate it.
For you. Fan news all day. Said he made his Apple account to specifically leave this review, and that he's a Michigan fan who might be the only more pro DWJ person
Jared
than us.
Wallet Jr. I knew where this was going.
He added all love from the mitten. Yeah, I think this person posted a picture of their Michigan Derek Walton Jr. jersey.
Love it.
So Derek Walton Jr. Hive. It. We're gonna try and get him to say something. I don't know. We'll try and talk to him at the next game about the Hive.
Yeah.
See if we can get a shout out or something.
Get a squad up, maybe.
Hive. It should be something different because there's always the Mike Scott Hive.
Yeah.
Figure something out. Send us your names for the Derek Walton Jr.
The DWJ Honeycombs? I don't know.
What? Like the cereal?
Yeah.
I don't think that's it. give us a better idea than that. we're starting to square one again. Thursday's episode, we have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Raptors.
Yep.
Which I am all defensive about. We have Thursday bonus.
Charles said we were going to lose. Take it down.
Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, thank you so much for listening. Please review like great, amazing, great, awesome, amazing Sniper did and the captain of the DWJ ship. I don't know. We're still working.
Ship is bad.
Ship is bad. J.4. I have been Positive Chuck Locklear.
I'm William the Opinion Uptake. We really appreciate you.